Have your Bibles with you. We're turning to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And while you turn to that portion of God's Word, I thank the Reverend McKee, the session superintendent, for the opportunity, even here, to come and bring the Word of God, even in this Children's Day. And we've certainly benefited from even the messages and song, the particular verses quoted, and certainly been a blessing to my own heart and soul, even as I've listened here, listening to the children. We're turning in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 22, and if you don't have a Bible with you, you listen on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Genesis chapter 22, and we're beginning our reading at verse 1. Now let us hear God's word. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then in the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him in the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 14, and knowing assuredly that the Lord will bless even this, the public reading of His word, as He's promised and declared even to do so. Let us bow in prayer, and I'm sure the little ones, well, you know the ABC of prayer. And if you don't, well, we'll learn it now. A, arms folded. B, bow our heads. And C, close our eyes as we approach the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy presence in this meeting, for the help given already. And we give to Thee all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, Thou dost know I stand in need of Thee even now. And Lord, we pray that Thou will empty us of self and of sin, and that your fill is full of the Holy Ghost and with power, and that thou wilt bless the words of thy mouth. O God, we ask of thee that thou wilt take away every distracting thought, everything that would clamour for our attention that is not for this thy day. O God, we pray that thou wilt prepare our hearts in receiving thy word. O Lord, it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless the going forth of thy truth. And that, Lord, that thou wilt give to men, women, boys and girls, the gifts of repentance and of faith, drawing them everlastingly to thyself and giving deciding grace. Bless those who are saved, leading them on with thyself and conforming them in great likeness to Jesus Christ. Bless us here and now, and shut us in with thyself, and further help us, we cry. We ask these things in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 22 and part A of verse 8, we find these words. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." The Lamb of God is most important in Scripture, as the children have been stressing, even this day, the Lord's Day, because redemption is the central theme in all of the Bible. From page to page, from cover to cover, the Bible reveals Christ, reveals the Lamb of God, and teaches of him. The theme is his death, that is the cross work of Christ, the turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atonement rendered to God. You see, the removal of guilt is by means of atonement rendered to God. Both the Old and New Testaments are never far from Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this speaks of him as the great sacrifice by which atonement is made for sin. And as the girls were saying, and singing concerning reconciliation, it's by him men, women, boys and girls are reconciled to God. Abraham speaks here as he is moved by God the Holy Ghost, and he speaks in respect to the Messiah, in respect to the Lamb of God, whom God appointed, provided in counsel and covenant before the world was, and who, in promised type and figure, was slain from the foundation of the world, and whom in due time God would send into this world and make him an offering for sin and accept of him in the room and stead of his people. And this was a provision that could only be made by the Lord, and was the produce of his infinite wisdom and the fruit of his grace, favor, and goodwill, and of which Abraham was given a clear sight and strong persuasion. You see, though these words may be considered as a more direct answer to his son's question, "Where is the Lamb?" they may be seen or undoubtedly viewed as a prophecy of Abraham's and of his faith in it that God would, as in fact he did, provide himself a lamb. And so, what we see is the great sacrifice. Because what we find in Genesis 22 is one of the clearest pictures of Calvary's cross, of Calvary's scene afar off. That is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied and as a pointer to the cross. You see, it is the Holy Spirit, the third person of God's Trinity, which by the mouth of Abraham predicts the Lamb of God, which he has provided and which taketh away the sin of the world. And so we see the person to be sacrificed. You see, there's no question. There's absolutely no question as to who, or rather whom, Abraham is to sacrifice and offer as a burnt offering. And it's very clear and plain from verse 2 of which we read. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Directly, immediately, not thine ox, not thy sheep, not thy lamb, not thy servant, but thy son. Here is whom Abraham is to sacrifice. Here is he's given direction by God. Here is whom Abraham is to sacrifice, the one on whom his affections were strongly set. Being a dutiful son, being a lovely youth, and the child of promise on whom all his hope and expectation of a numerous offspring was promised him and was built. Whom thou lovest. And what we see here is the extreme clarity of God's command, whom Abraham is to sacrifice, which instructs us as the people of God, when God tells us to do something that may seem very unusual, he will make it very clear as to what it is. And therefore, God never guides us, never leads us to take unusual action without giving us much assurance as to what the action is. And so the truth not only encourages us, but also warns us that before we take any drastic decision, we must be certain that we have a clear and strong command from God in doing so. And as we look at Genesis 22, well, we see clearly three simple descriptions. Three little descriptions which help us better to see the nature of the sacrifice Abraham had to make, and shows us clearly and how wonderfully how Isaac foreshadows the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is the only son. That's one of the simple descriptions. The only son. Look at Genesis chapter 22 in the first 2. And it says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, And we find that this phrase, thine only son, is actually repeated in verses 12. At the latter part of that verse, it says, thine only son from me. And again, this phrase is used in verse 16, of which we didn't read for time's sake, but it says at the latter part of the verse, thine only son. And so when Isaac is sacrificed, there will be no son left. And Abraham is being asked to give his all. He's being asked to give his all. And the truth is, we may give much. We may give much. But if we have much left, the sacrifice is not nearly as great as it is when we have nothing left. You see, it's what's left that determines the real size and cost of our sacrificing. Remember the widow in Luke's Gospel. In Luke's Gospel, concerning, well, that she gave two mites. Oh, she only gave two mites. And it says in Luke chapter 21 in the first four, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she, and the Holy Ghost points her out, but she, of her penury, hath cast in all the living that she had. Oh, others gave more in terms of money, but not in terms of sacrifice. Others gave more in money, but not in terms of sacrifice. And as Isaac was Abraham's only son, so Jesus Christ was God's only son. And both Isaac and the Lord Jesus Christ are in fact particularly called the only begotten son. For in Hebrews chapter 11 in the verse 17, we read, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, when he was tempted, that's synonymous for the same word. When he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. In John 3:16, of which was quoted in the program, as no doubt the children have learnt it, and no doubt, as you have also parent or guardian, John 3:16, the greatest text in all of Scripture, or the most popular text in all of Scripture, as Martin Luther called it, the Bible in one verse, the gospel contained in one verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And therefore, what a price! What a price God paid for our salvation. What a price God paid for our salvation, and therefore we must ask ourselves the question, do we reciprocate? That's a big word, isn't it? Do we repay the favor? Do we repay the favor? Or do we keep back part of the price? Because remember, we were bought with the precious blood of Christ. Such was the price. But there's not only the only son. There's the love son. The love son. And here's another little description. Because Isaac is described by God as the Son, whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. Abraham is asked to give up Isaac. And he's being asked to give up Isaac, the son he loved most. And Abraham is asked to do more than merely send him away. He's being asked to slay his son. And truly, what a great test. What a great test of the heart's affection this test is for Abraham. And therefore, the heart must be examined to determine the character of our sacrifice. The Lord said in Proverbs chapter 23 in the first 26, "My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart." And this is God's plea. My son, give me thine heart. Because that's the main thing God desires. Because if he has our heart, he has absolutely everything about us. If he has the heart, he has everything. Oh, we may sacrifice much, but if the heart's not in it, if the heart's not in it, well, the sacrifice loses much of its value. And Abraham, faithful father, he demonstrates in his willingness to sacrifice Isaac that God was his first love. That God was his first love. And therefore love. Real love. Love seeks the highest interest of others. Love is unselfish. It seeks the highest interest of others. It's unselfish, it gives. And therefore, it's not hard to see the Lamb of God. It's not hard to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Isaac was greatly loved by his father, so Jesus Christ was loved by his. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, God spared not his best. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And they not only loved their sons, but they willingly sacrificed their beloved sons. And this leads us to that third description, the obedient son. The obedient son. You see, Isaac submitted to his father's will. He obeyed his father's will. He was in submission to his father's will in everything, because his submission is seen clearly in verse 3. In his going with his father. We see also his submission in carrying the wood for Abraham. In verse 6, and especially in that he utters no words of complaint. He doesn't talk back. He doesn't say, "No, I'm not going." No, he's in submission to his father's will. And he opens not his mouth. He opens not his mouth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is also seen there. Because he opened not his mouth. We see clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, Isaac was bound and tied. Yet he was in submission. No struggle, no complaint, no words of complaint to his Father. In complete submission. And the Lord Jesus Christ did always those things which pleased his Father. In complete submission. In complete obedience, Christ said, "My meat, my food, that which consumes me is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And so the cross of Christ was no afterthought. For the greatest evidence of Christ's submission had to do with his being sacrificed. Had to do with his being sacrificed and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the Christ-like submission that Isaac set forth, the Christ-like submission that is demonstrated, that is seen in the life of Isaac, it ought to characterize the saints of God. It ought to characterize the people of God in submission. But as is often the case, instead of submission, we argue, complain. Instead of unity, there's disunity. Instead of Christ-likeness, there's often carnality. And at times we wonder why we don't experience the blessings of the saints of old who submitted themselves to God's will. To God's will. And therefore, if we want God's blessing, we must submit to the Word of God, the Word of our Heavenly Father, as Isaac submitted to his father. And therefore, the Word of God must be our supreme authority at all times, as our shorter catechism teaches. And no doubt the children have been learning or will learn, or some of you older ones learned it when you were younger. What do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. There's the place for the sacrifice. In the middle part of verse 2, and his direction is given, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You see, this place where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac was in the area which would be later known as Jerusalem. And we're told that it was a 3 days journey, according to verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And the significant feature of the location for the sacrificing of Isaac is its obvious relationship with Calvary and Christ, for this is the place where the Lamb of God was crucified. And we've no difficulty believing that the crucifixion of Christ occurred not only in the general area, but also right at the very place where Abraham offered Isaac. As Christ would be the substitute. You see, remember, and it just comes to me there, he goes and gets a ram as a substitute. But he said in verse 8 that a lamb would be offered. Not a ram, a lamb. And therefore, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is in view. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who is in view and saw the place afar off. And finally, Well, the purpose of the sacrifice. Look at verses 7 and 8. And children, you listen very carefully. Listen to the word of God. And it says in verses 7 and 8, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Isaac's puzzled. Where's the lamb? He's going to offer a burnt offering, but there's no lamb. No lamb. And both the asking by the young boy and, well, the answering by the father about the missing lamb instructs us in important truths. You see, Isaac's question, the boy, "Where is the lamb?" shows that he was in no doubt. Shows that he was in no doubt instructing regarding sacrifices. And parents, such is the importance of instructing your children, in sending them to Sunday school, in bringing them to church with you, and sending them to the children's meetings, that they would be instructed in the things of God. You see, Abraham, the head of the home, the father, had seen to it that the young boy, his son, would be taught, instructed in vital truths regarding worship. And Isaac knew what was missing. The young boy knew what was missing. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? The young boy knew. Isaac knew what was missing. And the truth is, many churches in our land, in Northern Ireland, many churches cannot tell the difference between a message that leaves out Christ and a message that is centered on Christ. Because men are so spiritually dull that they cannot tell the difference between a message that honors Christ and a message that leaves Christ out entirely. Because there are many who are seeking to embrace a salvation without Jesus Christ. This was the thing that the children were bringing. The importance of salvation in the person and work of Jesus Christ. This was the thrust of the message. And many seek to embrace a salvation without Christ. Many a message preached and no mention of our blessed Lord. And we cry out like Mary of old, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And therefore, we must give the little boy, the lad, credit, because he knew what was missing. He understood the purpose of sacrifice. He knew the lamb was essential for a sacrifice for sins. He understood you couldn't worship without the lamb. "For no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Christ said this, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Abraham's answer conveyed more than he himself probably was aware of at that moment. God will provide himself a lamb. And not only is it prophesied that God will provide a lamb to take Isaac's place, but it's also stated that God provided Jesus Christ to be a sacrifice for men and to be a savior from sin. You notice, man didn't provide himself a way of salvation. Man didn't provide a way back to God out of the slavery and the guilt of sin. No, God will provide himself a lamb. And therefore, God is providing himself a lamb in which Christ, who was made an offering for sin, and a sacrifice to God of a sweet-smelling savour, and its being a burnt offering, denotes the sufferings of Christ. And therefore, dear parent, dear child, older one, younger one, it was never God's intention. It was never God's intention to sacrifice Isaac, or that Isaac would actually be sacrificed, because Abraham was being tested. Yet nobler blood than that of animals in due time was to be shed for sin, even the blood of the only begotten Son of God. And so Christ was sacrificed in our stead. For such a dying world needed such an atoning sacrifice. Such a dying world needed such an atoning sacrifice because it was necessary that Christ should suffer. Essential that Christ should suffer because God's holiness requires the punishment of sin, either upon the sinner in hell or on Christ in the sinner's place. What a Savior. What a Savior. Because really we can never take in what the Lord Jesus Christ endured at the cross. Because our finite minds and our dulled senses can at best only dimly grasp the sheer depths of the gulf spanned when the Holy Savior, the one who was without sin, the one who couldn't sin, the one who was in the place for sinners like you and me. That's why he was there. For sinners, the Holy Savior made sin for us. And therefore, have you, don't think about the person next to you. Don't think about your neighbor at present. Have you received the atonement? Have you, as an individual, received the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross, that reconciliation the young girls were singing, that reconciliation of God, God and man, through the means and merits of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what matters. This is the difference between heaven and hell. Christ is the difference, friend. Therefore, seize him. call upon him while he is near.